From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome. Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. I just arrived. We're going to be talking about the U of T encampment, and later in the show we'll be talking to Norman Richman, the bluesologist, about black music and its history. But joining me is Erin Mackey, and she is a spokesperson for the U of T encampment. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, it seems to be, you guys have handled this very smoothly. Yesterday there was a big feature in the Toronto Star, and I should tell listeners, there is also, the Toronto Star produced a 4.5 minute video, I guess it was, where they visited the encampment, which I recommend people see it. Did you have a look at that?
I did. I was the person who gave them the tour and walked them around the encampment.
I was impressed because I think people need to know just the elements of this encampment, which is calling for disclosure and divestment by the university from association with Israel, right? Because of the ongoing slaughter of the people of Gaza, which is really why millions of people around the world are doing things. But the to maintain, and yourselves and McGill and other campuses have been doing this. It is, I think people should be impressed. I saw that you had solar equipment.
So we're on day 47 of our encampment here at the University of Toronto at King's College Circle. We've been there for 47 days, students, faculty, and staff standing up, demanding divestment from weapons manufacturing companies complicit in Israeli apartheid. And we have a lot of supplies to ensure, that we're operational and we have our phones charged and things that we need to continue to do this work because we have to, right? It is truly appalling that the University of Toronto is taking my tuition dollars and investing it in weapons and bombs that are being used to destroy the lives of friends of Palestinian students and their friends and their families.
You have a library. The food is being managed. I think critics or people who don't wish you well are always hoping that this will just sort of collapse through lack of organization or commitment submission to provocation and such. But people should understand this is quite a phenomenon and it's quite an exemplary, really. And people, I think, are impressed or should be. You have something. We're now on the calendar into a kind of an important moment. The court is being asked again to bring an injunction. Is that right? Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So, just to give folks a bit of a context and a recap here. So, yes, we've been at this encampment for 47 days. And on May 24th, U of T issued a trespass notice where they threatened to fire faculty, expel their students if they didn't comply with the trespass notice. And then on the following Monday, it went into effect at 8 a.m. And of course, that is many weeks ago now, and we are still here. And because of that, they tried to call the Toronto police on their own students to come clear this encampment. Toronto police said no, that they would not come in without an injunction. So U of T has gone to the courts to compel them to come and clear this encampment. And, the hearing for that starts on Wednesday. So that'll be Wednesday and Thursday. And our lawyers and have informed us that it's likely we'll have a ruling by Friday. And so really, all options are on the table in terms of what's happening. We are, of course, hoping that, the judge sees through U of T and understands, that any sort of injunction would be an infringement on our rights as students to protest, to engage in this work, and to stand in solidarity with people of Palestine. But we'll kind of have to see. And so we at camp are prepping for all possible outcomes. But again, it's truly, immensely frustrating is the wrong word, but it's appalling, really, that the University of Toronto is going to the courts to compel the courts to call the police on their own students.
I was very impressed at the faculty when they stood with you because, as you mentioned, this began with very heavy threats and campuses across the continent, people have already lost their jobs. And I believe I was reading your Twitter account, this is Aaron Mackey, by the way, in which a student at Columbia pointed out that now she's been suspended, even though they had promised they wouldn't do that. Yeah. You know, you hear the word university, you kind of expect fair play, decent behavior. But they were basically lied to, or she was, that victim there.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, again, you know, U of T has been immensely transparent about what they want. Their trespass notice was immensely clear. It said that they, you know, were threatening faculty with up to termination. It said that they were threatening students with expulsion. And, you know, those are quite serious threats. And, you know, we've seen that before, of course, in Toronto, more broadly across, you know, so-called Canada and the United States in terms of, students and faculty facing repercussions. I mean, here at the University of Toronto in 2021, there was a law professor who was offered the position at the U of T Faculty of Law. And she is a pro-Palestine activist. She had done work for Palestinian human rights and was offered the job. And then U of T got a call from a big donor. And then a few days later, they rescinded that job offer. And that was in 2021. And, you know, so we've been seeing these sort of repercussions for standing in solidarity with Palestine for not only in 2021, of course, but that's a really recent example of what's been happening here on campus.
And fortunately, I mean, you have really kind of people to a lot of issues, it strikes me. I mean, I don't think at the beginning, no one knew what the faculty was going to make of this situation.
Yeah.
And they looked like they were going to be bulldozed, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, so we've had, you know, the amount of support we've had from faculty is immense and overwhelming and really such a testament to the fact that, you know, it's not just students doing this work, right? It's students, faculty, and staff at this university. We also have support of unions, both on and off campus, including the Ontario Federation of Labour, which represents over 1 million workers in Ontario. And we, a few weeks ago now, held a press conference with a bunch of faculty, including one who is the director of the School of the Environment, who is in a more senior administrative position here at the university, and said that, you know, he knows of multiple faculty members who are threatening to resign if U of T calls the police on their own students.
That's a powerful development, actually. And, of course, that's the environment, that's your issue, isn't it? I mean, you're in your fourth year, isn't
it? Yes.
Just a side comment, you must be impressed that Mexico just elected a woman who is a climate scientist with real credentials, and she's just been elected president of Mexico, and she is a very strong supporter of the Palestinians.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're witnessing a real kind of change of tide, both on and off campus in terms of people waking up to the horrific atrocities that are happening right now in Rafah and Gaza and across all of Palestine. I think there's, you know, the amount of people who are now aware of, you know, the horrific atrocities that the Israeli government is enacting on the people of Palestine and want to stand up and do something and demand better of our institutions. Right, as students, we have immense power to ensure that, you know, our tuition dollars don't go towards developing weapons and bombs to destroy futures, right? I myself am graduating this year, and, you know, I've been thinking a lot recently about how all 12 universities, every single university in Gaza, has been completely bombed and leveled by bombs from the Israeli government, bombs that the University of Toronto paid for, and that there are thousands of students just like me who will not be walking across the stage this year at Convocation.
Yeah. Well, what can you say about the participants in this? There's interveners, right? In other words, it's the University of Toronto, and it's directed, I suppose, towards you, the encampment. But there are others have intervened. I think, didn't the faculty separately bring someone into the argument?
Yeah, so the injunction, the reason it's been so delayed a bit, so U of T essentially wanted, when they filed the motion in court on the Monday following the trespass notice, they had asked for an expedited process and to get a ruling as early as that coming Friday. The judge saw right through that and, you know, didn't really see sort of the urgency of that particular moment, and also the fact that there were so many different parties trying to intervene, both on our behalf in terms of the encampment and also behalf of U of T. And so the judge had to sift through in terms of, like, who will be allowed to be privy to the actual case itself. But we are at a point now where the parties have been decided upon, and, you know, there's other organizations in the city and on campus who are intervening on our behalf at the encampment. So that includes a representative from unions, that includes local organizations like Jews Say No to Genocide, it also includes the Muslim Law Association and folks involved with work around anti-Palestinian racism, right? Because the other thing that U of T is doing with this narrative is that they filed over 1,000 pages of affidavits as part of this injunction, really kind of spelling out this narrative that this encampment is hateful, that its mere existence is, you know, violent, and that we are, you know, essentially inciting violence by virtue of being here and being in favor of and supporting Palestinian liberation, which itself is anti-Palestinian racism, right, at its core. And so really, you know, the narrative that they're perpetuating, for anyone who's been to the encampment, you can come and see that, you know, I've seen nothing but people standing in community, standing together, demanding divestment. And, you know, we'll just have to kind of see what happens with this injunction.
Mm-hmm. Was Independent Jewish Voices part of this? Are they part of that?
I believe so, yes.
You know, these are documents I'd love to read.
I don't know, are they available online? They're all publicly available. Again, you know, U of T very clearly wants them to be read widely. So if you have the time and you want to read documents full of, you know, lots of, I think, misinformation and half-truths and bits and pieces, you're welcome to. All 1,000 documents are available, including over a 500-page affidavit from Vice Provost Sandy Walsh, one of the administrators we've been negotiating with, which, again, you know, she spent, I don't know how much time writing those 500 pages, time which she could have been in meetings with us, engaging in active negotiations to put an end to this encampment. We've been very clear from day one what it would take for us to pack up and go home, and that's a commitment to divest from weapons manufacturing companies complicit in Israeli apartheid.
There's also, we have now the opinion of the Quebec court, and which was really very persuasive. They said, where is the crisis? This is a protest. It's part of, one assumes, campus life, political life. We call ourselves a free and open society where we debate and protest in various ways, so long as we don't disrupt and, you know, assault one another. And the court put the burden on the university, and actually the university was not able to show that they had any. They tried to argue that one passageway had been blocked, and they said, well, so they'll move.
Mm-hmm.
Similar arguments are used here, right?
Of course, absolutely.
And there's all sensitivity about the area, but the fences were there for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's getting lost on a lot of people, especially, you know, people who are maybe haven't been to campus in a while or weren't sure what was going on. So there, at King's College Circle, there is a giant geothermal parking garage that's underneath the grass that our campment sits on top of. And so the area has been under construction for at least the past 3.5 years, almost 4 years. And so it had been completely fenced and closed off, and graduation had gone on, you know, smoothly with those fences in place during all of those years. And so then prior to the start of our encampment, seeing what happened at other universities, you know, across the U.S. and in Canada, U of T preemptively put up a fence around the grass to, you know, prevent an encampment from taking place and to prevent students from engaging in their right to protest. And, you know, we on May 2nd went in and walked through that fence and set up our camp, and have been there ever since. And so the fences themselves were put up by the university, and, you know, we have emergency exits available, and we have folks, you know, marshalling to ensure that we are able to stay safe. We've had a lot of, you know, pro-Israel agitators come to the fence and yell horrific, hateful things to students who are Palestinian, to students who are Jewish. We've had, you know, a woman come up to the fence who had a knife. And so, you know, there are lots of people who are, you know, being really aggressive. But again, you know, that sort of aggression is not warranted just simply by virtue of standing up and being solidarity with people of Palestine.
Yeah. You know, the Toronto Star piece of yesterday, the insight section of Toronto Star, they confirmed something which I really think needs to be highlighted, because they acknowledged it, that the encampment does not tolerate any hatred.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, you can't bait people based on religion, race, etc. This is about a war on a people that don't have any defense, and the world, International Court of Justice, and the Security Council has said this has got to stop because it's criminal and civilians are dying. But it's really important to underline this, that They did say that in the Star, acknowledged it, because there's been people trying to say, oh, it's about hatred. But your position has been to not tolerate any hatred.
Absolutely. So we have folks who do onboarding at our entrance to ensure that, you know, people understand the community guidelines of the space. And that includes a zero tolerance policy for any form of hate speech, whether that be anti-Palestinian racism, Islamophobia, anti-Semitism. We also have guidelines around taking pictures without people's consent. We know that people are being harassed online, losing their jobs, as you mentioned, because they're, you know, staying in solidarity with people of Palestine. And so we ask folks not to take pictures without people's consent. And we have those things in place to ensure that we are able to be safe and to do this work. But yes, of course, we have a zero tolerance policy. And again, you know, the idea here being that, you know, being against Zionism and being against this ongoing horrific genocide being committed by the Israeli government is not anti-Semitic, right? Those things are distinct and they're different, and that there are many, many Jewish people, including Jewish students and Jewish faculty who are at this encampment, who are anti-Zionists and fervent anti-Zionists, but are, you know, have that belief not in spite of their faith, but because of it.
Yeah. No, it's been those trying to cause problems have attempted, frankly, in my opinion, to create some hatred by falsely accusing people, smearing them, etc. And one of the things I noticed, and again, the Star actually had to acknowledge it, that people say have told the Toronto University Police or whatever that, oh, someone said something bad to me, or I heard this. But invariably, those were people not involved with the encampments. Then the claim was that it was somewhere else, mm-hmm. which that has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. After all, society itself is quite torn and upset because of the shocking pictures and news and daily headlines. People are feeling very troubled, and ordinary people on the street will say things that they shouldn't say, and they should be prosecuted. But here you have people trying to put this inside the encampment where it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that, again, you know, if you have the time and you want to read 1,000 pages of half truths in this narrative that U of T is building around the encampment being hateful, you are welcome to do so. But again, most of the things included in there are things that have happened, you know, around campus that we ourselves, you know, cannot be held responsible for. And again, ultimately, you know, this narrative that U of T is perpetuating is around the fact that by virtue of existing, in virtue of being in this encampment and being in, supporting Palestinian liberation and being against this genocide, they're trying to suggest that that itself is hateful, that that itself is anti-Semitic. And both those things are wrong, right? Standing up against a genocide is never wrong, regardless of your faith, regardless of your religion. And so, you know, that's why we're here, that's why I'm here, and that's why we will continue to be here to demand divestment and ensure that the University of Toronto is no longer complicit in this genocide. Mm.
And people to be acquainted with the daily developments, and I should be looking forward to this court decision, mm-hmm. because it's going to have a certain dynamic. But it's they go to at Occupy U of T, right?
Yes. So you can keep up with all of the information regarding the encampment at our group is called U of T Occupy for Palestine. On Instagram, you can look up Occupy U of T. We are also Occupy U of T on Twitter, now X, to keep up with the latest. We'll be sure to keep folks informed as we move forward with this injunction. But again, I cannot stress enough how truly, truly absurd it is that U of T is even going to court, going through this injunction to try and compel the courts to call their police on their own students, regardless of the outcome. That's a fact that U of T is itching to, have Toronto police come and be violent towards their students. And, you know, as someone who is especially, you know, for folks who are considering coming to U of T or your international students, U of T has been very clear with this and in other ways that they do not care about their students, they do not care about their student safety, and that they're willing to call the police we know who are violent on their own students.
It's unfortunate people suffer from sort of narratives what they get into of, oh, someone call the cops, and won't someone do something? Mm-hmm. When that isn't legally the procedure, people peacefully demonstrating are sometimes notified by police that, there's somebody here is trying to bring illegal action. But there is sort of kind of it's part of the hatred business coming against the encampment, that wants to, as at UCLA, to see trouble, mm-hmm. actually to see people harmed. That's the part I find troubling when I read that. Mm-hmm. People say, oh, clear them out. You can mm-hmm. just do something. It's kind of a Trump language.
Right. Again, you know. The U of T is welcome to do something. They are welcome to divest from this genocide and not be complicit in it. That's what they're welcome to do.
By the way, you must have seen this. One of the people at Columbia, I think, posed a question on her Twitter account, and she said, why is divest considered political, but invest is not?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I think U of T President Merrick Roller sent out an email to every single member of the U of T community early last week, and that outlined the exact same argument and tried to say that, you know, we as an academic institution must remain neutral on issues of a scholarly debate, which, number one, you know, the fact that there is a genocide, I think we can all, you know, see what's happening, and it's horrific and horrible, and it is an act of genocide, right? Like, that is not necessarily something that is up for debate. And the other thing being the point that you made is that what is neutrality, right? Investing in picking a side and supporting the Israeli government and investing in weapons and bombs is itself not neutral. The U of T has chosen a side.
It became political the day they did that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
And we all actually kind of kick ourselves. Why didn't we make a noise about that? Because it led to where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask, lastly, I think I neglected to mention, there are campus workers, members of the Steel Workers Union mm-hmm. and of CUPE. Now, are there unions or the OFL, are they part of this intervener business?
So one of the students mentioned in the injunction is a graduate student. So she's is part of the CUPE union here on campus. So they are involved in that way. And the OFL has been supportive of this encampment and held a big rally for us and, you know, is also providing, you know, guidance and support. Again, you know, we've learned a lot from labor movements about how to negotiate with this administration and best practices. And, you know, again, it's not just students who are there at the encampment every single day. It is faculty, it is staff and workers who are all in this together. We are all part of the U of T community, and we all have a right to say that we don't want this institution to profit off of genocide.
Yeah, certainly for me, one of the most dramatic moments is, and I was quite shocked. The Ontario Federation of Labour said, if you're going to move against the students, mm-hmm. you will have to go through us.
Yes.
That was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. People who followed the Canadian labour movement and issues of this type are really impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a dramatic situation. Well, Aaron Mackey of Occupy U of T, go to that Twitter account, and you actually can follow Aaron Mackey, too. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate you coming.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on.
Great to see you. And, of course, in a few days, we're probably going to have a brand new story to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, yes. I'm sure I'll be back. Thank you.
Well, thanks again. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. We'll be back after a while.